stories, teachings, and guidance. Welcome to the Women's Moon Wisdom Podcast with your host, Rebecca Rankin. Welcome back to the Women's Moon Wisdom Podcast. Today, we have a special guest and a dear friend of mine, Courtney King. She is a manifesting mentor who helps her students awaken their co-creative power within. She's an expert in ascension, manifesting abundance, manifesting miracles, and a brilliant guide to helping you believe that anything is truly possible. Welcome to the show, Courtney.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's first start with a little introduction. Courtney, can you just tell us what your background is, what your work is, and why you do what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I own a company called Fuel My Soul, and it incorporates many different aspects from retreats to courses and different workshops and experiences. So it's diving into everything from healing and manifestation, as you said, to connection, community, and many different ways of bringing the sacred avenues of life together. And it's been such a beautiful journey for me. It all really started, I think this is pretty common for most of us, it started as my own personal journey of healing. And as I was growing and discovering new tools and modalities that were helping me, I wanted to start sharing them with the world. So over time, I originally started with just a free spiritual space where people could come together, like-minded people to connect. That was like essentially me busting out of my spiritual closet. And then it unfolded into courses during 2020, which was such an interesting time to be speaking about this way of viewing life, right? The world is shut down and we're talking about silver linings and joy and embodiment and creating your reality. So that is very interesting to reflect on the timeline of how this had unfolded. And then when the world started to open back up, I was craving in-person connections. So I felt a calling to book my first retreat, and we did it across the country, and it sold out so fast that I ended up doing back-to-back retreats out in Sedona, Arizona, and the rest has been history with it.
Oh, yes. I mean, weren't we all, I feel like we still are all craving connection, community. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And a little bit just about, oh, there's so many things that I like already want to like dive into in that simple share. The first one is manifestation. I feel like it's been a topic. It is a popular topic these days. And it's, I feel like when you start to hear about manifestation, you hear everything through the lens of either law of attraction, universal law, the teachings of Abraham Hicks. Like there's so much information out there. I would love to just hear from you, like elaborate a little bit about manifestation and perhaps maybe how you work with within like your own coaching practice or within the communities that you have. And even I would love for you to, if there are any common misconceptions people have about manifestation. I know there's a lot all up front. Go for it.
Yeah. You know, every day we wake up and life can be so different, right? We're this new person every day. So even on the journey of my own teachings and my views have completely evolved from the birthing of my own creations. So for me, in the beginning, manifestation started out as this way of being able to view universal laws and how we do this dance with co-creating our reality. And I've been in love with learning about mindset and beliefs and how do we shift. And that really opened my eyes to how true manifestation is. And as you're saying, it's become such a trending topic now. when I was first talking about it, you know, I've always been this big dreamer, and manifestation for me started long ago, over a decade ago in my other work that I was doing before Feel My Soul was created. So over time, as it became more relevant in everyday conversations, I started really seeing the lens of how it's shared. So manifestation is real, right? It's real. I don't think it's on trial any longer. The overwhelm of how it can be done can be debilitating. And I think the biggest misconception with manifestation is how flashy the idea of co-creating your reality can become and manifesting materialistic things. And the common misconception with that is thinking that that's going to get you to where you desire to be, because I believe that the root of what we desire is to be happy and to feel fulfillment, and that will not come from manifesting anything materialistic.
Yes. So good. So how then do you play into just the concept? I think you maybe touched on this, that your perception is what creates your reality.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was going on these journeys of creating these courses and experiences where I was teaching people how to manifest. We would dream of cars or lake homes or houses or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And like it's so fun, right? It's so fun and incredible and still blows my mind to this day being able to co-create within my own life and then witnessing other people doing it. It's not like, oh, I'm just getting this lucky straw with the way that my life is set up. There's proof and evidence in it. And then over time, it started to seem like it was never enough, right? Like, so you keep going, and it almost becomes this new hamster wheel where first you're kind of asleep, just thinking life is just already, you have to deal with whatever is dealt to you. And then you start learning, oh, there might be a different lens I can view this world with. And maybe I have influence over what is occurring. And then it kind of escalates to, wow, maybe I'm a huge part of what's occurring. And we look at how two people can be in the same place at the same time, having totally different experiences, and how the observer effect is proof of what we expect, law of expectancy is most likely to occur. And how do we switch and shift these lenses and start thinking and expecting in different avenues based on our programming? And so I'll never forget there was a moment where I had just had my son, so I have two children. My daughter was supposed to be this beautiful home birth, and it turned into like almost 2 weeks at U of M craziness on both of us. And it was an experience that definitely opened my eyes and had to happen. For some reason, I was the one that the universe was speaking to me on things needing to change. I had to be brought to my knees before willing to make those adjustments in the past. And so that was an experience for me. And then I had my second son, where I was warned that having another baby, I was high risk, let alone I didn't think it was going to be possible to have a home birth. And from so much healing taking place, I was able to have this incredible, beautiful home birth with my son. And I'll never forget, a couple days after he was born, I'm home, my family's home, everything's still and beautiful. And within me, my body's screaming at me, get up, you have to start doing things, because I felt so good that I wasn't allowed to be still. Like wherever I was, it was just never enough, right? So what was creating that? At that time, my husband had just found out that he was the number one financial advisor in his entire company. Like there were so many reasons externally to be marinating in, okay, we've arrived, we're good, like we can take some time off, but I couldn't. So that took me on a new adventure of discovering different modalities for working with the subconscious mind.
Ooh, so tell me more about this. This sounds juicy and something of deep interest to all of us.
Right? I feel like I remember as a little girl, my family loved boating, but we never had like a lake house in the family or anything. One side of the family did. The other side was boaters, and we would ride around the lake looking at the houses and dreaming about what these people do, right? So I think everyone's at different levels of where they are in their life And we always think that, oh, if I had this, then my life would be better. So it becomes this outside of ourselves, it's an external thing that we would need to acquire to either create what it is that we desire or to feel the fulfillment that we desire. And as you go along these journeys, right, as you start climbing this mountain that we think, whether it's to these goals, these materialistic things, if you aren't finding your fulfillment and your happiness, if that's not embodied with you on the journey, you're not going to receive that at the top of the mountain. So, how do we start being able to, even stand within a fire? The entire world is burning around you. And how can you stand within peace and embodiment of this trust and this surrender, this ease and this flow within you? How can you feel happiness and fulfillment where you are while also being excited for what's to come? So it's just this, it's become this new way of me viewing life instead of constantly chasing something outside of myself, discovering that everything that I'm looking for is already here now and it's within me. And then everything else just gets to be fun. And then it happens quicker, right?
Yes. And that's, I feel like my guess is so many of us have this that conditioned response to always, I mean, look at how we've culturally been ingrained to look at like our careers. I'm doing quote marks. Our careers, our life paths. It's like this goal setting, goal setting, goal setting, and achieving, and the thirst that is never quenchable, right? And it's that idea that we aren't enough until we have this thing. And then all the spiritual texts basically say, no, you're enough from the day you were incarnated on this planet. You were enough. You were full. You have everything that you need. You just kind of forgot along the way. So it's like this deep remembering of that.
Yes, and isn't
How?
it so interesting
Sorry.
how we can read that in 20,000 different books,
Yes.
but then at some point it finally hits you. You've heard it over and over again, but then once it becomes you've heard it, then you know it, then you're an embodiment of it, and it's just an entirely different shift. That I think that's one of the incredible values that we have in having so many different avenues of learning and hearing these concepts, because some of the things that we're hearing over and over and over again, right? So, but when it hits, oh my goodness, it hits.
Yeah. And that's, I think that key thing that you said, that key word is the embodiment of it. You can learn it, you can study it, you can comprehend it, right, in your mind, but the embodiment of it is the secret recipe, is like the secret ingredient, right? It's not secret.
Yeah,
So good.
absolutely.
And what do you like for those of us who kind of have trouble with the negative feedback loop, the negative inner self-critic, the part of us that have believed that story in our minds that tell us, like, what is the advice that you give to your clients, to your community members that have trouble kind of living in the reality that they want in the moment now, before they see the manifestation of the things in the external world.
Yeah, I think something that is of significant value when we're looking at creating something different is understanding that what is here now in the present moment is just an accumulation of your past thoughts, beliefs. So if you're looking to have a different outcome in your future, the evidence to create something new isn't necessarily here yet in the physical. So now I'm talking about external. We have been trained to seek evidence in the physical to believe it's possible. So one of the shifts that I invite people right away is to start using spiritual sight and to start leaning more in an energetic realm within your identity versus seeking what's true for you based on your environment. So if I desire to become something different, experiencing something different in the future that I have never done before, most likely my bank account, My home, the things around me, even who I am right now, might not be an energetic match for that yet. And the way that we can become the embodiment of what it is that we desire is first beginning to understand that it is a decision within your identity. It's an energetic shift of an embodiment of what that would mean to be that versus there's any physical evidence. So the physical evidence within your environment is the byproduct once that shift has already occurred. Now, how do we start embodying those things if we are stuck in the past or on these loops? You were referring to negative thought patterns or limiting beliefs. So for me, when I was at this moment of, and I mean, I've been teaching manifestation, like I said, for well, for a long, long time, researching, studying it on my own. And it wasn't until I, the last couple of years that I was introduced to a modality called rapid resolution therapy. So for me, it was just really feeling that disconnect of I've signed up for every healing experience, every shamanic journey you can imagine, every tool I've tried twice. I'll do anything twice. And so, I mean, I'm drinking my juices, eating the right things, spending thousands of dollars every month on like functional medicine doctors and my healers. And but there was still a piece missing. And how? Like, how is that even possible? And when I found this modality, it was the piece to the pie for me, where everything, it was almost like this click, and everything started to be able to just, it was like the clouds parted and the sun showed and shined through. So this modality is an entirely different lens, to view the world healing with, and it is a such a profound life-changing experience. I would recommend anyone going through the certifications of getting this, whether you were going to ever use it for anyone else other than yourself or not. And I can dive into that if you would like me to, a little bit about what
Yes.
it is. Okay,
I'm
great.
like, don't leave us hanging, Courtney.
Yeah, it's
You're so,
oh my
you're
goodness.
speaking high accolades of this. We need to know more.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So as I am speaking about RRT, I'm going to remind everyone listening on this podcast, if you have been studying different forms of healing or different perceptions of reality, then this is just a lens, okay? I'm not saying that anything is true that I'm saying. I'm just saying inviting you to use a lens for a little bit, okay? So we're gonna kind of drop the over analysis of what I'm saying and just play with it, okay?
Love it. Love play.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll play with this for a little bit. So RRT is based around the idea that we have two different parts to our mind. We have our primal mind and we have our evolved mind. So primal mind is set hardwired for survival, okay? And we are the only life form that has the evolved part of our mind. So our nervous system is hardwired for surviving, living in the jungle or the rainforest. But it's exciting that we have this evolved part of our mind so we can function higher than a kangaroo. So it looks at these two different concepts of our mind, and then there's a link that sends information back and forth between the minds. And oftentimes a glitch becomes in the mind's processor. So it creates stories that aren't real between the two minds, causing a lot of havoc, okay, and hardwire. So one of my favorite stories in regards to RRT is a bunny is out in the field, out in this beautiful meadow, and it can see the green grass, the sunshine, can smell the flowers, and it gets a cue, a hunger cue, and so it decides to go look for carrots, and it can easily access carrots. And once it gets the carrots, it can just be so present eating the carrots. It's in a rest and digest state. And as Bunny is eating the carrots, all of a sudden Bunny sees Wolf in the distance. And Wolf doesn't even see Bunny, but Bunny sees Wolf. So now Bunny had this wide open lens where it could view the meadow, the flowers, the grass, the sun. Now lens comes narrow, and all Bunny can see is Wolf. Can't smell the flowers. Can't enjoy the carrots. And then, as Wolf walks away out of view, out of sight, Bunny gets the cue, okay, Wolf is gone. Now Lens opens back up. I can enjoy carrots and I can return to enjoying the meadow and all the beautiful aspects of the meadow. Evolved mind for humans can tell a story that Wolf is still here even though Wolf is gone. So Lens can stay focused and narrow on a perceived threat that no longer exists. So RT allows subconscious work to take place where we're speaking directly to the subconscious mind to let it know that Wolf no longer exists, to widen the lens and allow an embodiment of the things that we've been speaking of.
Well, and what is the actual like modality, like just high level overview of RT? Like, how does that differ from typical therapy methodologies? Like, what? Yeah.
So it's
I'm totally
rapid.
curious. Can you tell? I'm like, tell me more.
It's amazing. It's rapid. So a neat concept is that the facilitator is responsible for the shift to occur, and there's so much fun and play invited into this. So it brings in many different modalities. So it's not like just one size fits all, and it really curates to the individual of where they desire to go. So there's so many different little pieces to it, but one of the greatest benefits to me is how quick and profound the healing can be. Some of us have been on a journey of healing, looking to release something, and it's been 15 years, and it still is. Can create a sensation, an emotional charge there when we think about it. And if there's an emotional charge there, that means that there is an energy leak taking place. So RT allows you to be able to recall the sensation that it used to bring to you, or you can remember the past experience, but it's no longer taking away your power. So instead of having these, like conscious mind thinks of one thing at a time, usually, even if it's rapidly shifting, subconscious can have all of these stories going at once. And what's really neat is if we can release one energy leak, oftentimes it's like closing all tabs open on a computer. And so there will be a visceral response to the body, often just feeling like this insane, profound state of peace and power coming back to the body. So we use symbols, metaphors, storytelling. It's amazing.
Yeah, it sounds, I mean, it sounds great. And do you work with this modality like within your own work, or is this just a therapy that helped you kind of get to where you're at
Both.
now? Both.
So it's embodied now within all of my work. I do private sessions, and then all of my speaking experiences, there's some way this is weaved within it. Yeah, so it's been a neat tool for me to play with.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest to all the listeners, I'm totally interested in like learning more about it. And so it's more than just like talk therapy. Like, it is talk therapy, and it's more than that, you said too, right?
So the founder, Dr. John Connolly, incredible man. He does different sessions every week, I believe on Monday nights, if you guys would like to see an experience of him facilitating. But he invented this modality. He was a social worker, and he was first focusing on children and realized that he could take a child out of an environment, but he couldn't take the environment out of the child. So that was really where this started. And which connects with everything, right? All of us in so many different ways. So how do we allow ourselves to find that peace and fulfillment? And it's oftentimes not running to the mountains or, these things feel great, but when you come back home, and when I just returned back from facilitating a retreat in Sedona, and on the morning that we were closing, I said to everyone, you're going to return home and you're going to drive down roads that you have driven down maybe for years. You're going to return home to the home that you were in before going on this experience. And you are going to look around and you're going to have a wider lens. Like I started seeing walls, my ceiling for the first time in my lens, in my peripheral. not realizing that I was always just so narrowly focused. So like you're going to start seeing things differently and everything is going to feel different even though nothing has changed other than you. And that is an amazing experience where we really begin to realize everything that is just is. It has no meaning until we give it meaning, right? So it is a true example of how perception creates reality.
Absolutely. And I love that reminder, especially at the end of a retreat. So I've to host retreats and everything. And there is just something so amazing and beautiful about coming together with intention, with purpose, and the idea that the hope is that people leave and they have, this, they can see their life a little bit with a different lens, with a more open view. And I love the work that you're doing because it literally is like you were really working with this different modality that can help people perceive more. And because you perceive more, you can then have more, like more capacity to enjoy more, to have, to hold more, to perceive more. I love that. Oh, that's good. I want to shift gears a little bit. So I will, in our initial kind of conversation of like, oh, I want to like, I can't wait to have you on the podcast. And there was a mention about shapeshifting.
Yes.
I would love for you. So this is a concept that for me, I am mostly familiar with it through the more like mythology realm of shapeshifting, right? So when I hear the word shapeshifting, I automatically think of like the Celtic folklore of stories of like such as like the Selkies, right? These seals that can then shed their skin and they're these human, they take on a human form. So I would love to just hear like how this concept of shapeshifting is, how you utilize it and how it is a tool for, co-creation, for or believing that anything is possible.
Yeah, I love that you have the image from mythology of like the morphing, right? The metamorphosis of different stages. And isn't that such a perfect example of shape shifting as human? You know, like when you said that, I was just imagining like, oh yes, like when we finally give ourselves the space to roar like tigers, shape shifting is a transmutation of the dark into light, and shape shifting from what we once believed to be impossible to the embodiment of knowing that it is absolutely possible, and not only possible, it is. And the illusion of time being linear and just where everything can collapse and we can collapse time. And it's the shape shifting and the alchemy of all the work that we do. So it's when we discover a fear and we can look that at that fear, and that then takes that power away from that fear, and standing in our darkness and being able to hold space for it. And that's when the light can come in. That's the way that I'd view shapeshifting, but I also deeply resonate with the way you're viewing it, which I think is a great example for the subconscious to understand that we can become the unicorns and mermaids and all of those things too, the fairies.
Oh, and thank you for that just more applicable way of shape-shifting, because I like literally I'm like I literally just think of like shapeshifters, right? And like all the mythology, every, lens, if you look at Greek mythology, I mean, there's all the examples of shape shifting in the form. But we know that like mythology, like you are, it's very symbolic, right? It's very much this dance of symbolism that is meant to teach greater themes.
There's
I
a
love
book
that.
called Shapeshifting by John Perkins, and he would go into the rainforest and live with indigenous cultures. And so that book was so inspiring for me of the embodiment of the shamanic work with shape shifting, but I think it's something that you would love to check out too. He's got quite a few good books, but yes, it was so powerful. But just the idea of everything's neutral and our own perceptions create that reality, and which it can feel like a big responsibility when we first learn that, but it also can be so much power for us to realize, wow, if I can really mold this like a piece of clay, what am I going to create for myself?
Oh, I love that. How do you incorporate play in the work that you do?
Play is everything. Play is everything. I used to operate as such a goal-driven, we don't celebrate till we get to the top of the mountain. Nothing is good enough until we arrive. And then I started arriving at the top of these really big mountains and just realizing, wow, it wasn't what I thought. One of my second quarter life crisis, my dark night of the soul, was fueled from I was presented an incredible opportunity. It was a network marketing before network marketing became huge. It was the very beginning stages of it. And I was able to create this career for myself that I loved so much, but I was very, very focused on creating in the masculine energy and sacrifice, and just the play wasn't there. And when I finally reached these mountaintops of making more money than I ever even dreamed I'd ever be able to make, and had all the things, checked all the boxes, and it was just, when I got there, I was just numb and broken. And that was such a great experience for me, to burn it all down and rebuild in a different way. So play allows so much to take place from healing. Humor is one of the greatest tools that you can invite within healing. Play allows higher frequencies to come. So when we're talking about embodying the future self that we desire to be, play allows you to be an energetic match for that desire. So play is so profound. It melts the pressure when we invite play in.
Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned this, and I want to like, ooh, there was like a nugget there that I was like, let's go there. This concept of the playing by the men's rules, living the masculine entrepreneur life. And how do you now feel like you have incorporated, you said like you basically had to burn it all down in order to like reinvent the way that you defined your own success and your own business and your own career. How is the divine feminine now involved in your life, as far as like business or any aspect really?
You know, I'm so grateful to have the balance of being able to lean into the energy when I need to get things done to get them done, and to be organized when I need to be organized. But to dissolve the illusion of what we are taught is required to be successful is one of the greatest victories. And to once again get to decide, one, what your success looks like, and two, how you're going to reach that. So for me, I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on marketing courses. I believe I have three or four of them that when I started opening them and leaning into them, I'm like, I don't think this is accurate. Like, I don't think I need to do this to get where I want to go. So it's so interesting when we start looking at mentors and people that have what we desire to have or what we think we need to have to get to where we desire to go. And it is so fun to invite your intuition in, and will this feel good to have done? And if not, I'm probably not available for it. Or if it absolutely must get done, how can I invite the play in? But I'm always focused on the energy of completion. So How will it feel to have done it? And if it will feel good to have done it, then how can we make it possible to do an inviting play in along the way?
Yes. Thank you for that. It's in having that balance, right? It's having the balance of the masculine energy of the go forward, put your head down, do the things that you have to do, and the feminine energy of is this right in this moment? Is this what I need? The ebb and flow, the ability to shift course when you need to, the ability to not be stuck in one particular modality or one mindset. Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to share a story, an
I
example
would love.
of that. Yeah.
Yeah, let's
So,
do it.
my Feel My Soul was birthed from I wanted to start teaching and coaching, but had no idea how to start and where to begin. So, I just for fun started a book club. And then that transitioned into like a free online Facebook group. And then felt the calling to create a course, which is something I never did and thought you needed a website and all of these fancy gadgets. And finally, I was just like, F it. I would love to do this. And if anyone else wants to join me, great. But the energy is so exciting to me to birth it. And that's with every retreat or desire coming in. I'm like, if I'm going to enjoy doing it, I'm going to do it without being so attached to the outcome of it. And that just invites so much play. So I just had people, I'm like, this is what I'm doing. If you'd be interested, if you're interested, then you can PayPal me over the money. Like, it can be so simple when we start. And just because we start doesn't mean that we have to follow anyone else's rules. Like, I really wanted to start a podcast. So I uploaded a few different episodes with that, and then it sat dormant for a year or two. It's been over a year. And I still to this day have people messaging me saying how grateful they are for what's being on there. But it's just so interesting when we look at what we think would have to be done to do it. And if we can just play, then so many different great experiences can come into your vortex, leading you to exactly where you're meant to be.
And that's it, like having that trust in your own intuition. I feel like a lot of even the work that I have done over the years, it's like I do it because I want it. Like I'm like, if I want it,
Yeah.
someone else wants it too, right?
I'm going to
Like,
give you
and
permission to be selfish for a little bit and lean into that.
right? And
Yes,
it feels so
absolutely.
much more fun to create that thing that you're creating because you're like, oh, I want this to be in the world and I'm gonna do it. And
Yes.
there's no rules to follow because I mean maybe there are, but there's you're doing it from your heart and led by your heart versus, oh, the way to create a business is to follow this course and to go make this first and then you get a lead magnet and all these things. And as entrepreneurs, there's so much out there. And for some people that probably does work.
Yeah.
And then I have a feeling for most people, there comes a point where you're like craving more, you're craving like more purpose out of it, or you're like, this isn't quite right. And then you have that calling, or maybe it's the slight whispers to you that are like, oh, you have these ideas that pop in your mind, or it's like getting hit over the head with like a frying pan of
Yes.
like, do this thing. This is what you need to do to continue to move forward. And I think having that lightness of heart, the play, the aspect is what makes it feel so good.
Yeah, I recently had an experience where spirit was just screaming at me to offer a local workshop, and my husband and I had just facilitated an experience, and it was like that night. It was like, okay, announce this. I'm like, no, I'm leaving for Sedona in 2 weeks. I would only have 10 days to offer this experience. You want me to birth it, create it, fill it? Like, it was like, no. And then when I really sat with that, I was like, but I really, really do want to do this. Like, the seasons are changing and it energetically aligns with around the month of February and going into spring. It just would have been a totally different shift. And when I really sat with where the resistance was, it was being afraid that no one would show up. And I'm like, we don't create from that energy, for one. And for two, an RT perspective with that is when we can invite ourselves to view things with the what ifs as experiences instead of creating them as identity of it meaning more than it just being an experience. If I do this and no one shows up, it means my work isn't of value. It means no one likes me. All of these stories that we create, and they actually become our identity. And when we look at the past, creating identity on things that don't need to exist, it's just a story that's being created, doesn't need to be the truth, and it can just simply be an experience. And can we hold space for experience being available for experiences that could present some, uncomfortable, if maybe fear or discomfort, but if we can hold space for the potential of that, that allows us to open up to the more profound joy and blissful experiences too.
That resonates so much. I think I needed to hear
Oh, good.
that.
It
'Cause there
was super
is,
profound for me too.
yeah, that is that. What if it's just to have the experience? Not, I think, anyone, any of the listeners out there who are entrepreneurs or, or any like really line of work or anything, like that can really resonate deeply. Like, what lens am I, is my fear coming from? Or what is my resistance? Where is that? And pausing enough to acknowledge. And the what if it is just meant to have this great experience, and
You can
that
just change
opens
it,
other
right?
doors.
There will be a lesson there for me. There will be growth there for me. And then I'll realize that I'm also not going to die. So subconscious creates this story that it literally thinks it's life or death. And it will do everything to keep us from those experiences. And mind doesn't know the difference between imaginary versus reality. So if I can imagine the worst case scenario, mind thinks that's already happening. So it's RRT's perspective, not saying it's true, RRT's perspective, the lens that we use is emotion is only cause, sensations is only cause to get you to take an action because mind thinks if you can visualize it, then it's possible. So if I want desire to imagine, let's say something happened in my childhood and I can imagine what had happened, it mind thinks that it's about to happen, is happening, or just happened. And if I can imagine a different outcome, my mind is going to send emotions and sensations to get me to create the different outcome. So this is all weaving in the evolved mind versus the subconscious mind, and they act and speak very differently from one another. So when we can put the pieces together, let it know that you're not going to die. It's gonna be great.
Even if it's uncomfortable.
Even if it's uncomfortable, can we hold space for that? Yeah.
Yeah. That is, oh, it's good. That's really good. What advice do you have for any woman or really any person who is just starting on their journey of self-discovery, of personal growth, of wanting just more out of life, and really kind of stepping into this idea of like co-creation, the co-creation of their life.
That question plays perfectly of what we were just discussing. So subconscious mind runs the show, right? And subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between reality or imaginary. So before you go to bed, can you replay your day and imagine how you wish it had happened? Like the mom guilt can be so real. And this tool has been so profound for me. Instead of wishing things had been different, can I imagine how I wish they would have gone? And then my body creates the energy of that. So then the next day, I'm actually more embodiment of that creation of what I desire versus what I resent or regret had happened. And then when I, before I even open my eyes in the morning, I can either recall what had happened and just relive past experiences over and over again and be the same person I was. Or I can run the day instead of the day running me. And setting my clear intentions of starting the day of how I desire to feel. So specifically when I'm setting my intentions, it's nothing outside of me. I'm not imagining my children being perfect or setting myself up for destruction, thinking that I control anything outside of me. But can I find my breath? Can I find my peace, even when destruction is falling all throughout the house? And can I see myself dancing as I'm doing my dishes? Can I feel my feet on the floor as I'm folding my laundry because I'm so present and connected? How can I create visual intentions for myself, but going one step further and creating like a movie scene almost of me being there, and how do I desire to feel with that sense of peace? And that just allows you to start energetically being able to be more of that embodiment that we were discussing, and allowing you to lean further into what you desire to create. And it is incredible to watch and witness how the external environment will start responding to the energy that you're creating within yourself.
That's so good. I feel that with this piece of advice, it just really comes back to also like giving yourself time to just be still, to like, you know, whether it's beginning of your day, at the end of your day, to connect within, right? To really like have the capacity to like pause and respond versus like pause and re or before just reaction goes in. And for me, I really think that, you know, it would be so beneficial for everyone to even just have a daily practice of checking in, right? Whether that's meditation, breath work, whatever, but just like a check in throughout the day then.
That conscious awareness comes in. One of the most profound tools for me was learning to ask myself questions. So I started becoming like my own greatest advisor just by asking questions. Like, as soon as I started noticing tension in my body or me snapping or whatever was going on, taking a moment to breathe, becoming consciously aware, and asking myself, what am I feeling? And just acknowledging it. And then you can go deeper into why am I feeling it? And then the third question that I would ask myself is, how do I desire to feel? And then fourth is, where can I seek evidence of that? So maybe there's some way for me to find that within where I currently am, or we get to rely on this incredible tool that we have to imagine. So I used to have my students make a simple list of joys, like even brushing your teeth and having clean teeth, or washing your face, or putting lotion on your body. We can recall these things and instantly shift the state of our body and being.
Yes.
That stillness, it all starts with being, doesn't it?
That's so good. As we wrap up our time together, is there any last advice, last things that you would like to share with the listeners? Any tips, anything that you'd love to just share?
I think the last message coming through is just looking at what we think is possible and then asking ourselves if there's a different possibility there. Just that simple question of what is possible. So we move through different states of first it being impossible to is it possible? And then evidence will start presenting itself that it is possible once you begin to seek. And then before you know it, it's a full embodiment of a new truth for yourself. So, knowing that if anything is possible for one person, it's possible for you if you have that heart-led desire to create it. And oftentimes we're overcomplicating it or taking ourselves off the table thinking that more is required than what is. And you have everything within you that is required to create and become the things that are on your heart to be.
Thank you so much for that. Oh, I think everyone's going to resonate with that so deeply. Thank you so much. And this conversation was so great. Where can all of our listeners find more Courtney in their
Yeah,
life?
absolutely. My website is fuelmysoul.com. And then podcast is Fuel My Soul. My name is spelled unique. It's KOURTNI. And last name's King. So on Instagram and Facebook, it's Courtney King. And those are at YouTube. I have a couple of things with my name as well for Courtney King.
Great.
The intention is more is to come in that avenue.
I love it. More visibility. Oh, love it. And I'll Be sure to share those in the show notes so you guys can check them out in the show notes. Thank you so much, Courtney, for sharing your wisdom, your energy with all of us. I truly appreciate it. I appreciate your time and just co-creating this together. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.